This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, as I mentioned earlier, a few months ago, I took a break from my sermon series on the Gospel of John so I could preach on some other texts and topics. But today I'm resuming my sermon series on the Gospel of John by focusing on the first 17 verses of John chapter 15. Now, in order to refresh your memory as to where we're at in the Gospel of John, I would like to point out that at the beginning of John chapter 13, we find that Jesus and his apostles are in the upper room for the Last Supper. In fact, that goes on in the Gospel of John for quite a while. John chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. All those chapters contain teaching of Jesus that took place during the Last Supper. And so today's reading from John chapter 15 takes place during that time. Now, another thing you need to understand is that some of Jesus' teaching during the Last Supper applies only to Jesus' apostles and to them alone. And I'll be pointing that out when that is the case. However, other parts of Jesus' teaching during the Last Supper also apply to all Christians of all times and places. And in the same way, I'll make that clear when that's the case. So with that in mind, I would also like to point out that Jesus' teaching in today's Gospel reading from John chapter 15 is so packed full of theological wisdom, I could easily preach several sermons on just today's Gospel reading. But the fact is, I can't get into that much detail during the sermon series, or I won't finish it before I retire. So, out of necessity, I will sum up the main points that Jesus is making in Gospels in today's Gospel reading, and then I will explain how it applies to our lives today. Jesus begins today's Gospel reading with these words: "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful." Now, what is Jesus teaching here? We might especially be concerned when we hear those words about being cut off. Does he mean if you're not good enough, if you haven't done enough good works, he's going to throw you away? No, that's not what he means at all. In fact, as you will see in a bit, to bear no fruit means that you have reached the point of unbelief. To bear no fruit means you no longer trust in Jesus as your Savior, you no longer see a need for Him, and so obviously you're not living for Him. And when you reach that point, you're cut off, you're dead. So with that in mind, you need to know that first of all, these words of Jesus are not merely for his apostles. They're for all believers of all times and places. So I want you to listen closely, because what you're hearing in today's reading is for you. Now, Jesus goes on to use an analogy of a grapevine with its branches that sprout out from the vine. In fact, I've put a little insert in your bulletin with a picture on it. You might want to get that out. I'm going to refer to it later in the sermon. But it's a picture of a grapevine with little branches that sprout off from the vine. And you'll notice that on one side you have these branches that are sprouting off, but on the other side there's branches that have been cut off. Again, keep that handy. I'm going to refer to it later. But the point is, Jesus goes out of his way to use this analogy about a grapevine with its branches. Why does he do that? Why does he use this analogy? Well, there are two likely reasons. First, you need to know that grapes were a very common crop in the Jerusalem area, and so most people were familiar with that plant. It would immediately come to their mind when Jesus mentioned it. But secondly, and this is important, Jesus had just celebrated the Last Supper, where he said the following of the wine. He said, "This is my blood shed for you." Now, earlier in John's Gospel, in John chapter 6, Jesus says, "For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them." Isn't that interesting? Jesus says that whoever eats his flesh and drinks his blood remains in him. Now, of course, this is a reference to the Lord's Supper. But then in today's reading, listen to what Jesus says. "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Now, at this point, let me share something awesome with you. John uses the same Greek word in John chapter 6 as he does in today's reading from John chapter 15. He uses a Greek word that means remain in or abide in. So Jesus is saying that one way we continue to abide in Him, one way we continue to have a saving relationship with Him, is by receiving the Lord's Supper in repentant faith. Now at this point, allow me to make some clarifications. Simply put, to abide in Jesus means that you trust in Him as your Lord and Savior. In other words, simply going to the Lord's Supper doesn't mean that you abide in Jesus. Why? Because if you go to the Lord's Supper and are just going through the motions, and you really don't believe in Jesus, and you forget about Him the moment you leave, and you really are just putting on a show, but you really don't believe, then it doesn't do any good. So, to abide in Jesus means that you actually believe in Him. To abide in Jesus means you come to the Lord's Supper looking forward to receiving the body and blood of Christ for your forgiveness because you know that you need it. But that leads to a question. How do rebellious sinners end up abiding in Jesus in the first place? If we're conceived as people who want nothing to do with God, how do we end up abiding in Jesus at all? Well, the answer to that question is that God comes to us through His Word, and through His Word, the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin against God, and then He moves us to trust in Jesus as our Savior from the damnation we deserve. So, God is the one who grafts us spiritually dead branches into Jesus, the true vine, with the result that we now abide in Jesus. Such people have spiritual life, and they bear fruit to the glory of God. As Jesus says at the end of our gospel reading, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." With that said, one way God calls us into a saving relationship with Himself is when His saving word is applied to us in the renewing waters of holy baptism. Now this is important because sadly there are some Christians, even though they believe in Jesus, they're wrong about baptism. They think baptism is merely a symbol of your commitment to God, but it's so much more than that. The Bible is very clear that baptism is something God does for you. God uses baptism to call you into a relationship with Him. God uses baptism to graft you into the vine. So, a good thing to remember about this is that earlier in John's Gospel, in John chapter 3, Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." Here we see that God uses baptism to give us new birth, to bring us to faith in Him. In addition, listen to what the Apostle Paul writes about baptism in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word." So here we see that baptism not only gives you new life, but God uses it to wash away the guilt of your sin. Also, another way that God calls us into a saving relationship with himself is through the preaching and teaching of his word. For example, in today's reading, Jesus said, "You are already clean because of the word I spoke to you." You see, when the Holy Spirit uses God's word to expose our rebellion against God, and then uses that same word to lead us to trust in Jesus as our Savior, well then, at that moment, you are washed. When you trust in Jesus, you are washed from the guilt of your sin because of his blood shed for you. And finally, I've already mentioned the Lord's Supper. However, the Lord's Supper is unique. Unlike the preaching and teaching of God's word, which can even be given to unbelievers, because how else are they going to come to faith unless we preach to them? But unlike preaching and teaching, the Lord's Supper is for people who already believe. The Lord's Supper is for baptized, repentant Christians who have been instructed in the teaching of Jesus. And so this is another way that Jesus feeds us and nurtures us so that we may continue to abide in him and grow in our faith. Now, with all that said, I'd like you to look at that bulletin insert I mentioned earlier. There you see that picture of a grapevine. And note how on one side the branches are sprouting off from the vine, and they continue to grow because they're being nurtured by the vine. As long as those branches are receiving adequate nurture from the vine, they will bring forth luscious grapes. But look at the other side, where the branches have become dead and have fallen off. You see, what happens to branches that are not receiving nourishment for whatever reason? Well, such branches grow weak, and unless they somehow receive nourishment from the vine, they eventually die. And when they die, then the only thing you can do is cut them off from the vine. So now do you understand what Jesus is trying to teach us? Jesus is the true vine that gives nourishment to us, the branches. And if we continue to abide in him by remembering our baptism, if we continue to abide in him by hearing and reading his word, if we continue to abide in him by receiving the Lord's Supper, we will then be strong in our faith and we will strive to live according to God's will and to his glory. But what happens to believers who are tempted to cut themselves off from Jesus, the vine? Well, sadly, their faith in Christ begins to grow weak. They no longer remember that they've been baptized. They no longer desire to hear and read God's word. They no longer desire to receive the Lord's Supper on a regular basis. And as a result, they no longer grieve over the sin in their lives. They might even become comfortable with their sin. Worse yet, abiding in Jesus by daily repentance and faith is the last thing on their minds. Sadly, when a person reaches that point, they are Christian in name only, or as Jesus puts it, they are dead branches. Now, at this point in the sermon, I know what some of you might be thinking. Pastor, what you say is true, it's all well and good, but why are you saying this to us? I mean, we're here today. We're here because we're abiding in Jesus. You need to preach this sermon to people who haven't been to church in years, not to us. So how do I respond to that? Well, first of all, please note that Jesus was speaking these words to whom? His apostles. his apostles who were with him at the Last Supper. So obviously, Jesus believed that his words applied to them. You see, Jesus knew that the devil would constantly tempt them to stop abiding in him. And so Jesus warns them so that they would repent of that sin before it's too late. I mean, think about it. If the devil can't keep you from coming to church, then he'll do the next best thing. He will tempt you to forget about Jesus as soon as you leave the place. The devil loves for us to just put Jesus in this little box at Sunday morning hour and then live our lives as though Jesus were the last thing on our minds. That's why, even though you're here today, and even though I'm here today, we need to hear what Jesus is saying. These words are for us today. So, with that in mind, you need to know that Jesus is well aware that when we leave this place, we're going to be tempted to forget about him completely. Jesus knows that when we leave this place, we will have to struggle with our sinful nature and face all manner of temptations in this world. And sadly, there are many people who have been baptized. There are many people who have attended church for a while, but now they're no longer abiding in Jesus. Jesus knows that the same thing could happen to us if we're not careful. We're not any better than anybody else. And so Jesus gives us this loving warning today. Abide in me. Don't stop abiding in me. In addition, another reason we need to hear Jesus' words from today's reading, even though we may already be abiding in Jesus, is that we need to bring this teaching of Jesus to those who are no longer abiding in Jesus. Think about it. Maybe you know a friend, or a family member, or a neighbor who has strayed from Christ's church and is no longer abiding in Jesus. Pray for an opportunity to share Jesus' words from John chapter 15 with them. Now, obviously, when you do that in deep humility, and you do it in kindness and love, and you make it clear that you're a fellow sinner just like them and that you're nothing without Jesus. But let them know that they need him. Let them know that Jesus wants them to abide in him again so that their faith in him can be strong rather than dead. Let them know that God wants them back. Let them know that God wants them to abide in Jesus through daily repentance and faith in God's word. Let them know that God wants them to abide in Jesus by remembering their baptism, by hearing and reading and studying God's word with other believers, and also by receiving the Lord's Supper as often as possible. My friends, this is how God gives us comfort. This is how God gives us strength so that we can live for him, so that we can bear fruit to his glory rather than living in rebellion against him. With that said, I would now like to make a couple more important points about today's reading. Later on in our gospel reading, Jesus says some words that sadly have been horribly misunderstood. Jesus says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." Now, what does that mean? Some people think it means that Jesus is a genie. Rub the lamp the right way and he'll grant your wishes. Some people have actually rejected God because they thought, hey, I asked for this and he never gave it to me, so it obviously doesn't work. Well, that's not what Jesus is teaching here. Some have taken these words of Jesus out of context, and they've twisted their meaning to think that if we trust in Jesus hard enough, he'll give us anything we want. But that's not what Jesus means. Remember, this is the same Jesus who taught us to pray, "Thy will be done." This is the same Jesus who went to the Garden of Gethsemane and said, "Father, if it be possible for this cup to pass from me, please, but not my will, yours be done." So, what does Jesus mean then? Simply put, to pray in Jesus' name means that we pray under His authority. We pray according to His Word. This means that we pray that God might help us to live according to His will. And my friends, God will always answer that kind of prayer. In fact, I'd like you to listen to what Jesus goes on to say in our gospel reading. Listen to these words. "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." My friends, here we see that abiding in Jesus means that you love His teaching. Obviously, you can't say that you love Jesus and at the same time ignore or despise His teaching. The same Holy Spirit who moves us to trust in Jesus as our Savior, this same Spirit also moves us to hunger and thirst for Jesus' teaching. In fact, this is why Martin Luther gives the following explanation to the third commandment. Remember what Luther says? He says, "Do not despise the preaching of God's word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it." That's what Christians do, my friends. Of course, the sad fact is that we've all failed to abide in Jesus as we ought. And I'm as guilty as you are. Am I always focusing on Jesus 24/7? No. Do I pray as much as I should? No. Do I obey Jesus as much as I should? No. Do I love others as much as I should? No. The devil is constantly tempting us to ignore Jesus and instead feed off the spiritual poison of this world. But my friends, that's why you're here today. That's precisely why Jesus says what he does in today's reading. If we have not been abiding in Jesus as we ought, what's the solution? Run to Jesus. Run to him in repentance and faith every day and know that he forgives you, and know that he will use his word to encourage you and to comfort you. My friends, the solution is to abide in Jesus on a regular basis, because that's the only way we can be strong in our faith. That's the only way we can have the strength to bear fruit to God's glory. In closing, I want you to remember these words of Jesus, because they're the most important. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. I would actually argue that there is a greater love, to lay down one's life for one's enemies. That's what Jesus did for you. You see, before we were ever his friends, we were his enemies. But he still died for us. That's how much he loves us. Jesus is saying, if you believe in me, you're my friend. But never forget how much I loved you. Never forget what I was willing to do for you, that you might be mine forever. So, whenever we fall, whenever we stray, don't believe the lie that there's no way back. Jesus is always calling us back to Himself. Jesus is always calling us to abide in Him. And He wants us to remember, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And that's what He did for you. He laid down His life for you, shed His blood for you, that you might be forgiven and abide in Him forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As I mentioned,